right. Today is Friday, April 3rd. My name is Jen Harris. I'm the Chief of Media Services for Charles County Government and the Designated Public Information Officer for the COVID-19 emergency. Today, we're going to do a special podcast where we're talking about your mental health. I know it's not an issue we've talked about before on this program, but many people are suffering from anxiety, fear, and depression as a result of this extended pandemic, and they are going to be increasingly isolated at home and trying to cope with all of these various emotions, and that makes it even more difficult because they lack connection. Today, we're going to talk with some local experts who can offer advice and help. I'm pleased to be joined by Orly and Natasha Reed. They co-own a mental health and counseling service here in Charles County. They've co-owned it for over a decade, and they've both worked in the public, nonprofit, and private sectors, offering therapy, individual and groups, and a variety of other services that have helped people recover from these kinds of challenges. And so I'm really grateful for them to be here today. They have been longtime residents and business owners, and they are going to provide us with a wealth of knowledge that will hopefully help us improve the way that we're handling this emergency. So welcome to the Reeds.
Thank you.
Good morning.
So let's get started. First of all, as we talked about briefly before this podcast got started, people are just feeling an overwhelming anxiety right now. Can we talk a little bit about where you think people are at emotionally and how they're handling this fear and anxiety? What's the root cause and what's driving it?
Well, first of all, this is something unique that has never happened before. And because of that, people can't find their bearings onto how to operate, what to do, how I'm supposed to move, because they look, their normal ways of seeking answers is by looking through history. How did they do it in the past? But unfortunately, there is no reference of this because we haven't experienced it before. So everybody is just trying to do their best. And the unfortunate thing is that sometimes we don't know if we are.
I feel it's contagious, right, Natasha? I mean, if you go to the grocery store, you can feel everybody's anxiety and you walk away feeling more anxious. What's driving that?
It's literally in the air. And, you know, we've talked about it literally like the virus, almost feeling like the virus is in the air. The anxiety is in the air. And so you literally can feel the effect of anxiety rising in the culture itself. When you go in a grocery store, when you're driving on the road, you know, people aren't as observant as they usually are. Everybody's in a rush and in a panic. It's just a result of what's physically and mentally happening to all of us. And so with that, we have to have an intentionality about our sensitivity to ourselves, one, being able to identify where we are, and then we can also identify where others are and have more empathy for other people, which allows us all to kind of bring it down a couple notches.
That's so helpful. I know that for me, there are days when I feel great and there are days when I can really feel a heightened level of anxiety starting to take over. And in my team calls, before we even start work, I will acknowledge where I'm at to the team. And that feels like an important step for not just me, but for everybody who's working with me on a daily basis to just be honest about where we're at and not deny those feelings are there. How do you, is that step one in this process to just really embrace it?
It's so interesting. And it's like we already had a conversation that literally is step one in a three-step process. Number one, acknowledge and accept your current condition. If you cannot acknowledge where you are, you can't do anything to deal with where you are. And a lot of times we try to avoid that feeling and emotion because we're afraid of what it's going to do to us. But when you first acknowledge where you are, you now put yourself in a position where you move from feeling powerlessness into being able to establish perspective and purpose.
That's great. I appreciate that step because I feel like sometimes in our culture, that is not always the case to welcome people's negative emotions or what we would associate with a negative emotion. It's like I said in a previous discussion I had this morning, an invisible wheelchair that we don't want to acknowledge, and then it never gets addressed.
Yeah,
it's important to normalize. And I think this is a unique situation in which we have the privilege to normalize that everyone is experiencing the same thing to some degree. in this situation. And that helps. There's, mm-hmm. there's comfort in community.
It's not just the county. It's not just the state. It's not just our nation. It's literally the world that's going through the very same things we're going through right now. So sometimes there's solidarity and understanding that you are not alone in this. Even though you may feel isolated, you may feel like you're the only one going through this. You're not. You literally are going through this with the world.
So what does it feel like physically and mentally and emotionally in your body if it's something you've never struggled with before? I was reading statistics earlier today as I prepared for this conversation that nearly a third of Americans at some point will be diagnosed with an anxiety or depressive disorder in their lifetimes. But for a lot of people, they've never encountered this kind of thing before. It's more of a day-to-day anxiety that is taking over and is something unique to two-thirds of our population. So what does it feel like? And then how can you recognize what's happening and develop some coping strategies to address it?
Well, literally, one of the words you used earlier was heightened. There's just this sense of heightened when you're talking about anxiety. So your heart palpitations, you may experience heart palpitations because your blood pressure is now increasing. Your breathing is increasing. Your thoughts are beginning to increase. So you may have racing thoughts. You may be having difficulty keeping a thought. You're losing focus and you're losing clarity. Your sleep is being disrupted. You may have body aches, joint aches. Indigestion, because your digestive system is being affected by everything being heightened.
Then you have feelings of like you're in a pit that you can't get out of, feeling enclosed, feeling like the walls are closing in, sometimes even getting to the point where the room can start spinning on you, feeling emotionally frustrated, not knowing where it's coming from, and that sense of just irritability. That, and then sometimes it can get to be a point where you actually are, my wife talked about the heart palpitation, but it feels like you're having a heart attack and you'll start getting those symptoms as a heart attack, which actually is, and coincidentally, is a panic attack.
And when you've caught yourself cycling into that, it can be very difficult to step out of it. What are some steps that somebody could take, or if you recognize that happening in somebody else who you're close with, perhaps living with, what should you do?
Well, first thing you got to do, like we talked about, step one, which is acknowledge it. You cannot, this is not something to keep to yourself. This is something that you do have to acknowledge. This is what I'm going through. And the first step we always tell everybody is to, you have to start breathing. You have to disconnect where your thoughts are, because what's causing the anxiety and depression are your thoughts that are giving to the emotion. The emotions are really just a byproduct of what we think anyway. And so because of our thinking, it put us in a position where we're having these physical reactions that we feel are out of control. So the first thing we have to do is recollect ourselves.
Right. And grounding is a great technique. Grounding literally means that you're connecting to reality, because anxiety really is our thoughts and our feelings running away from us. So grounding meaning, you know, we use our five senses, smell something, touch something, going outside and actually feeling the grass on your feet, having a snack, you know, that's salty or sweet, or for some sour. It helps to bring you out of that cycle. Watching something that's funny, or, you know, focusing on something that's beautiful, you know, scenery. We have these backdrops that we can do on our computers and on our televisions of the beach, you know, and I've been doing that. I want to be in the beach right now. So sometimes I have my waves in the background, or I'm doing a picture of a beach, and literally I'm taking myself out of what I deem to be stressful right now and putting myself in another environment.
And I think for somebody who's never experienced it before, their immediate reaction might be to tell that person to calm down. But in the moment, if you're going through an anxiety or panic attack, which I have experienced, it is impossible to just calm down. Your
Absolutely.
Thoughts have already gotten well away from you at that point. So these grounding techniques are important.
Yeah, and the person that is noticing it in somebody else has to be the calming force in that situation, because unfortunately we have this where we think we're helping by acknowledging what's going on. But in essence, what we're doing, we're actually creating even more anxiety, because the person feels we're saying something's wrong with them. And if that happens, you're now going to get an overwhelming increase in that anxiety. So when if you recognize it in somebody else, your job is to be that calming force. You start talking to them about some grounding themselves, some things they can do, taking through some breathing techniques. There's many different varieties of breathing techniques that can be taught. The whole idea is to disconnect your current thoughts from your emotional state. Mm-hmm. And the way you, and once you're able to do that, then you give yourself the ability to be able to refocus yourself, which in turn will redirect your emotions.
Yeah, it's not about understanding it in that moment. And I think that's what a lot of people make the mistake of. You're trying to understand what's happening, and it's more about redirecting that energy so that it can dissipate as quickly as possible.
We have a saying where we say emotions are not logical. And what what that means is that we can always look at the situation and look at how somebody's reacting and saying they shouldn't be reacting like that because of this situation shouldn't cause them to feel like that way. However, emotions are not logical. Just because we feel that or we think that somebody shouldn't be experiencing something, we can't tell that person that that's not their experience.
Exactly. I have actually said those words out of my mouth. I remember in college when I was having a panic attack before an exam, and my dad was very carefully trying to walk me through it. And I said, "Dad, you just can't logic me out of my feelings. It's not going to work." Yeah. And it's exactly correct. I found that to be more and more true as I grow older. There's no way to analytically walk somebody through that process. Now, I have noticed that you both have worked extensively with people of all ages. And I was really curious about your work with youth. And I know this is a really challenging time for kids. What are some of the pieces of advice you can give to parents to help their kids cope with what seems probably like a pretty overwhelming situation from their perspective, and a unique one since they're all of a sudden transitioning to this homeschooling environment and they're not seeing their friends and they're not socializing or they're out of their normal routines?
Yeah. The first thing I would say for parents is to be self-aware, because you are your children's mirror. So if you're heightened and anxious and doing things that cause them to be heightened, they're going to be heightened. So that's the biggest advice I think I would give first, is that the parents have to be self-aware and make sure that they themselves are managing.
And then number two, you have to have structure. That's number two. They have to have a schedule that you're put in place where they're able to do a variety of things throughout the day. We know we have schoolwork that they have to get done. Then we also have activities, but also social time and family time. All those things to be on a schedule, because you're giving them a sense of normalcy by placing a schedule in place for them.
And if the kids have fears that, you know, you can't answer the question to, even as our governor said yesterday in a message that, you know, we don't know how long this is going to last and we don't know how bad it's going to get. How do you acknowledge those things without causing more trauma for your kids, especially those who may be hypersensitive or especially worrying about it?
Yeah. Well, we have our oldest son is a senior this year, and we understand that that is very impactful for our seniors who are supposed to be graduating, because they have all the senior activities coming up, all the different things going on. And so one of our messages to him has been, listen, it's not going to happen right now, but it will happen. We're going to make sure if anything happens, if this doesn't end for a little bit, at the end of this, we're going to celebrate you. You're going to have everything that you deserve. And then we start talking to him about looking at the perspective that it's going to, what he earns, what he can establish, what will be better on this side. One thing that we talk about is understand the difference between looking at a, let's say you have a water bottle. It's halfway full. Is that water bottle half full or half empty? If it's filled at the halfway line, is it half full or half empty? It actually is both. And it's just a matter of perspective. How you choose to see that water bottle will determine the feeling and emotion that you have. And so when we understand, when we talk about normalizing and we talk about looking at a situation from another perspective, the only way you can change your feelings and emotions are if you put yourself in a position where you're not looking at what you don't have, but you're looking at what's possible.
I love that.
Yeah, and our message, you know, also has been that prepare and know that things are going to be different. It doesn't mean that we won't celebrate, but the celebration may look and feel different. But it will be a celebration nonetheless. So when you're talking to your kids, it's really, you know, we're taking it day by day. We all are. And there's solidarity in them knowing that mom and dad don't have all the answers. We're in this with you. And we're all taking it day by day. And what we do know is that we're in this together. And whatever challenges come, we're going to handle them together.
And let them know that their feelings and emotions that they're having is okay and it's natural, and that you actually have them yourself. And not on an anxiety scale, but just letting them know, hey, listen, this is something that I've never experienced in my lifetime. This is something my parents have never experienced in their lifetime. So this is something that's new for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very helpful. Thank you. I'm going to shift gears to symptoms that you should seek professional help for. What are some things we should look out for within ourselves or our family members as this public health emergency goes on? When should you be concerned enough to reach out and get help, and how can you get it?
If you're having extended issues with breathing, definitely you need to reach out to a medical provider. Also, extended periods of insomnia, not being able to sleep disruption. So when it starts to get to the 2-week mark and it's been consistent, definitely an issue. If you by chance get to a month, you absolutely have an issue, because not sleeping exacerbates any condition. So if you're anxious, if you're sad, depressed, it makes all of those conditions that much worse. And so it's very difficult to rebound when you're not recovering in your sleep cycle.
And then controversially, if you're sleeping too much, if you're sleeping 13, 14, 16 hours a day, and you can't seem to get out of bed, then that is something that you have to be able to say, okay, I can't handle this on my own. I need help.
Yeah. And then the last and most serious is if you're having thoughts and actual detailed plans of doing something to harm yourself or either someone else. If you're becoming rageful and violent, that's when you really need to seek help.
Absolutely. Thank you for that advice. That's very appreciated. I know it's been all in the back of our minds that it's always possible that someone we may know may not just get the coronavirus, but actually die from it. I know that we here in Charles County have had 2 people pass away from coronavirus in the past week, and that number may continue to grow. It's an exceptionally difficult time to grieve, whether you've lost somebody to COVID-19 or just lost somebody for another reason. You can't host a large gathering to grieve that loss. You might be suffering alone. Any advice you can share on that front?
Well, you're absolutely right. Grief is all around us. You know, we're grieving our normal lives, so to speak, but in particular, we're grieving people, our loved ones. Matter of fact, this morning, a friend of mine, her mom, transitioned this morning as a result of the virus. So we're all dealing with it. And the number one thing I would say is don't grieve alone, which is kind of, you know, precarious and a little tricky in this situation. But you have to find ways to make sure that you are connected to the people you love. Family, be kind to yourself. Make sure that you're treating yourself in the way that the loved one that you're grieving would. Make sure that you're eating. Make sure that you're taking care of your hygiene. Make sure that you are still continuing to live. And also recognize that it is a loss. You're going to need emotional support, and that's any loss. And so you have to find ways to connect. Right now we're telling people to isolate to some degree, social distancing, but we don't necessarily want you disconnected from people. So now we have to find virtual ways to connect. If you have people in your home, great, connect with those people in your home. But if you don't, then we need to make video calls. We need to memorialize our loved one virtually. Mm-hmm. It really helps to be able to hear how other people remember that loved one. You know, it keeps them alive, mm-hmm. being able to hear how other people are experiencing the loss with you and also how they have enjoyed that person in life.
And you have to allow yourself to feel it. We've tried to avoid it because we're afraid of what it will do to us. But allow yourself to feel the emotion. Allow yourself to feel the grief. Because unfortunately, with grief, if you don't go through the process, it will linger and it will stay. I actually had another friend that I just found out about 2 days ago that actually passed from the coronavirus. And one thing that his sister has been doing, she's doing a online memorial on Facebook. And so she's having everybody call in, send video messages, and she's actually having a Facebook memorial service online for him. And so still, even though we are under social distancing, it still doesn't mean disconnecting. Mm-hmm. And we have to prioritize and rearrange how we see connecting with one another. And that actually is something that is for all of us. We encourage people not to just do phone calls, but do video calls if at all possible. The video calls give a greater sense of connection with somebody else instead of just calling them while I talk to them over the phone. When you video call somebody, it allows you to connect with them on a greater level.
Yeah. And if you do find yourself alone in your home, you know, I have a few clients that I've advised, you know, once you've both determined that you have not been around anyone, you may need to readjust and actually quarantine with another single person. Because none of us know how long this is going to go on. And so you don't want to be alone, so to speak. Also, adopting a pet. You know, this is a great time to go to the shelters and rescue a pet if you're alone and you need company.
Mm-hmm. I love that idea. I know my daughter would love it too. She hasn't been able to convince her dad yet to get a dog. This might be a great time to do that.
This is the perfect time.
Well, I want to end on a positive note, give people some hope to walk away with. What are some practical ways that we can do that today just to put a smile on our face?
Perfect. Well, before we started talking about the three steps to what you can do right now. First is acknowledging and accept your current condition, then prioritize the importance of things to be done for your family, your work, your house, and your environment. And then third, schedule every day, making sure that you have a routine in place and in order. And then also celebrate yourself. We spend a lot of time just worried about the things that we have to do. And sometimes the last thing we do is look at what we need. This is a perfect time for you to refocus on what is it that I need? What is it that I enjoy? Perfect time to start rediscovering some of the hobbies that you lost. One thing that we're looking to do as a family, we're looking to do some painting. And so just different things that you can do that really allow you to express yourself when you didn't have the opportunity before. I know I used to, we worked with such busy schedules that we were looking, okay, it would be great if we had time to do this as a family. If I could really find out, really get my health in order. So this is a perfect time to rediscover some loves and some passions that you may have laid down to the side.
Yeah. And it's an opportunity, you know, in every challenge, there's an opportunity and there's always the opportunity to grow. And if nothing else, we can all say that we're growing, we're changing and we're adapting. And with that change and with that adaptation comes new skills and new ways of thinking, and new things to appreciate. And so just look around every day and find something new to appreciate. There's hope all around us. Whenever we lose someone, we still have someone to love. And so we have to make sure that our perspective stays open. And it's hard and it's easy to fall into the grief, but we have so much to hope for and so much to tap into around us. And if you can't put that focus on yourself, put it on someone else. There's someone who needs you, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's a friend, whether it's a family member. They need a call. They need a meal delivered. They need a kind word. We can do that for each other. So let's be there for each other.
I think that's a great way to end. Practice gratitude, practice kindness to ourselves and to others. Thank you both for your time. I can't wait to meet you in person when this is all over.
Yeah. I know. We're going to have a good meeting in person.
Yeah, that will be wonderful. I just really started talking to you a couple of days ago through a virtual introduction from somebody else I know, and I am so happy that this introduction was made. It's something that I'm grateful for today, is the new people I've connected with as I've been working to communicate with Charles County residents about how to get through this together. So thank you for your time, and stay safe and stay healthy and enjoy your family time while you have it. Okay.
Thank you. You too. We appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you so much. Again, that's Orly and Tasha Reed we've been talking to. They are co-own a business. They provide mental health and counseling services for individuals and groups here in Charles County. They've been practicing together for over a decade and more than 20 years of experience in doing this for people of all ages. I encourage you to check out resources online that are available to you and to follow the advice that they've given today and take care of your mental health. Thank you for listening today. You can subscribe to our podcast or our YouTube channel by visiting our website, charlescountymd.gov, and going to our COVID-19 page for more information.